taking notes. There will be a test later. This is the Steve Gruber Show.
How can I ever change things that I feel? If I could, maybe I'd give you my world.
We all sit here looking at China thinking they're taking over the world. For a long time, we've believed that America was the sole surviving superpower. May have been true. Now many believe that China has joined the ranks of the superpowers, and maybe Russia never really lost that status. True, not true, I don't know, but our next guest spent considerable time in China studying, working for the Wall Street Journal, Dow Jones, and says this idea of China could be a great illusion, a great wall of illusion. Denny McMahon joining me on the program. Denny, welcome aboard.
G'day, Steve. Good talking to you.
Good talking to you. Where do you hail from?
I'm originally from Sydney, Australia.
All right. Good on you, mate. well done. Tell me about your time in China and the things that you've learned studying, writing, looking, observing.
Yeah, well, I had my first trip to China as a student way back in 1997. And then I studied for another year, and then I ended up working as a journalist over there for 10 years. And I've kind of seen this amazing arc of economic growth. I mean, in the early years, it was this hugely optimistic thing. You could kind of see just China, you know, the quality of people's lives go from strength to strength year after year. But certainly during my time as a reporter at the Wall Street Journal, when I was really able to get into the nuts and bolts of how the economy worked, you could just see this incredible amount of waste and excess and debt accumulation and risk-taking really build up in the economy. And more than anything, that's what's driven economic growth over the last few years. And so what I kind of came to see is that, you had all this debt, all this excess. A lot of the big drivers of China's competitive advantage have started to erode over the last few years. What I started to realize is that this aura of inevitability that sort of shrouds China, that it's the inevitability that it'll be the world's biggest economy or the hegemon in Asia or even challenge the United States for the role of global predominance, none of this is preordained. And although maybe one day it might happen, really the probability is pretty low.
Well, let me ask you about one thing here that I've always found odd, bizarre, maybe a good word. And I'm going to point to Ordos, China, 137 square miles, shining towers, architecture, parks, lights, everything's beautiful, except there's nobody that lives there. And there's these ghost cities of China. Why in the world do you have these beautiful state-of-the-art metropolises and nobody's there?
Yeah, they're an amazing phenomenon. It's not just Ordos. They're sort of pocketed around the entire country. There was one town, one ghost city that I went to a few times. And I've got to say, Steve, it was one of the most beautiful cities in China that I ever went to. It just didn't have any people. The problem is that China's ghost cities are kind of the inverse of what you kind of understand a ghost town to be, right? So, California and Colorado were dotted with ghost towns, which sort of sprung up overnight for the gold rush and then emptied out when the resources disappeared. But ghost cities in China, firstly, they're an order of magnitude bigger. They are properly built cities. But, it's not that the people left, it's just that they were built and not enough people ever came in the first place. So the reason these things get built, as much as anything, is it's to drive economic growth. There's kind of this pro-growth bias, which is built into every level of the political system.
So jump in there. Hold on. So you're telling me that Ordos or any of these other ghost cities are being built for the sake of being built to create jobs, and so it's false, it's not real, it's an illusion. Now they build this city, and as you know and I know, if you leave something unattended, for 5 or 10 or 15 years, it's not going to be worth much because these things deteriorate over time if they're not being used, use it or lose it, right? But you're telling me they're being built in the first place to propel a fantasy?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, one of the reasons they happen is you kind of get these local mayors. They get put into the role for 5 years. Maybe they're only there for 3 or 4 years before they get moved on. And they've got to prove their worth. They've got to prove they can make economic growth happen. The easiest way to do that is to borrow money and to build something. And that's what's been happening the country over. And what you were saying about the quality of these things degenerating over time, I've been to places where, they've started building these cities and then, no one's moved in and the roofs have blown off and, the paint started peeling and the concrete started cracking.
There's nobody there to see it. Yeah, there's nobody there to see it. It's like the series that was on History Channel or whatever, Life After People, right? I mean, there's nobody there, so things start to take, the nature takes over again, right?
Very much something like that.
Yeah, that's crazy. So, all right. So here we are in America. We do see China building, creating islands in the South China Sea that didn't exist, you know, extending their sovereignty or attempting to, you know, pushing back against Japan. Certainly the Chinese don't want to see any success in the upcoming potential summit between Donald Trump and North Korea, because that would not be something they look favorably upon. But you say it's not preordained, but I see these things where China's got its fingers, its tentacles out there. What do you see happening if it's not preordained that they become a superpower, that they become dominant in the world long term? What do you see?
Well, the issue is all this sort of military and sort of diplomatic strength you were just describing then, it's all built on the economy. And so what happens is at the moment the economy is still going gangbusters. It's growing at 6.5% annually. Now, I don't know exactly what's going to happen to the economy at various times. People have predicted that there's going to be a financial crisis. Other people have suggested that maybe China will experience something like Japan's lost decade. You know, as far as I'm concerned, even if Chinese growth falls to 2 or 5%, I mean, that's enough to change the world order as we expect it's going to happen. And the reason I say that is if China grows at 2%, you know, each year, that's what the United States grows at. And so at the moment, we expect that China will overtake the U.S. as the world's biggest economy in a decade or even less. Now, if it's growing as fast as the U.S., or even if it's growing at 3%, it's going to take decades for the United for China to kind of get to the, you know, to sort of overtake the U.S. as we currently assume it will.
Well, here's the point you just made. You said 6.5% growth. However, Denny McMahon from the Woodrow Wilson International Center for Scholars and a former China-based financial journalist. Denny, you said 6.5% growth, but you also told us that growth is based on fallacy. I mean,
yeah,
it's based on building cities
really
that nobody lives in.
That growth over pretty much since the global financial crisis has been that the accumulation of debt. I mean, it has been debt growing faster than the pace of economic growth, and that's just not sustainable, because the pace at which China has racked up the debt has been so big and so fast that other countries that have experienced a similarly rapid accumulation have almost always ended up in financial crisis. I'm talking about places like the United States prior to the subprime crisis, or like Spain prior to the Eurozone crisis, or Thailand prior to the Asian financial crisis. So it's really got to a point where it cannot continue growing the way it has, because at this point things start to get a bit shaky.
Well, yeah, things get a little bit shaky, and then, you know, who knows what happens if the Chinese economy were to fall to 3% or 2.5%, it would have repercussions across the globe as far as the economies of many, many more countries, as you pointed out aptly. Let me give you the last word, Denny.
Oh, thanks, Steve. I mean, look, as I said at the beginning, I think this we really need to start to reassess the way that we think about China. I think, you know, in the United States in particular, we kind of, you know, see China as being this great threat, and potentially one day it might be. But there is so much that can go wrong in the Chinese economy at the moment. It is far more fragile than we think it is, and I think the future is going to turn out very differently from what we currently anticipate.
All right. Well, great conversation. And I greatly appreciate you coming in here. The Great Wall of Debt, Denny McMahon, fellow at the Woodrow Wilson International Center for Scholars and a former China-based financial journalist. Denny, great conversation. Really enjoyed. Love to have you back.
Fantastic, Steve. Great talking to you as well.
Good on you, mate. Thank you. Quick break. We'll be right back here on the Steve Gruber Show.